up happier than ever? No way. He doesn't get to win.
Whoever is bitten by a werewolf and lives becomes a werewolf himself.
The census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Gina! But I don't care, darling, because I love you.
Why do you eat people?
Not people. Brains. I can feel myself rot.
Now, Sid, don't you blame the movies. Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
Wheel in.
Out with friends?
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the U.S. of A., and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how are you?
I am well.
Excellent. And in the state of New York?
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, Phil. How are you?
Good, good. And in the state of Massachusetts?
Hey, everyone. This is Abe here.
Abe, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Excellent. All right. So this is a Dark Discussions podcast. DarkDiscussions.com is the website. We are a genre podcast that talks about horror films, sci-fi, fantasy thrillers, techno thrillers, mysteries, grindhouse, art house, cult films, midnight movies, and whatnot. Basically, review and critique weekly and discuss a genre that deserves intelligence.
We
intelligently.
Try.
At least we try, yes. Eric, we have the website, as I mentioned. What can folks find over there?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff they can find over there. On the right-hand side of the front page is links to Friends of the Podcast. At the top, there's a bunch of links. There's an audio link, which will send you to a page which has every single episode of every Dark Discussions, as well as all the spinoffs that we've ever recorded, available for free. There's an articles link that takes you to a page where there's some articles that have been written by myself as well as other people. We need to get back to that. It hasn't happened in a while. And on the front page, front and center, there's a link to our Patreon account. Patreon is a service that lets you support your online artists, like podcasters. If you'd like to help us offset the cost of producing this podcast, you can donate through the Patreon account. For every $5 a month that you care to donate, you'll have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly cover on the show. We take all those submissions and draw them randomly on a quarterly basis. So you can follow the link on the front page of darkdiscussions.com or you go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. So where the podcast can be found elsewhere on the internet is iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Overcast, Podbean, and wherever podcasts are found. All right, sounds good. So I guess we can get into our topic tonight. So Eric, what are we going to discuss tonight?
Tonight we're going to be talking about a remake currently in theaters starring Aubrey Plaza, Child's Play.
Andy, I know this move has been really tough, but this is supposed to be a new start for us, remember? You said you were going to try to make new friends.
Buddy can connect to and control all of your Caslin products and smart home devices. Introducing your new best friend.
Mom, I need to tell you something, and I need you to believe me. Oh. I think Chucky did something.
Andy, if you know something, you better tell me.
Something's wrong with Chucky.
Buddy can connect to and control all of your Kazlan powers.
Chucky is a toy.
He could be anywhere.
Welcome to Kazlan Car.
We have to stop him. Chucky!
Good night, Andy.
That's right. Child's Play is a 2019, I guess, remake or reboot of the 1988 cult classic Child's Play. As Eric mentioned, it stars Audrey Plaza, known for her TV work in numerous genre films. Also, as Eric, you mentioned, she has a pretty cool meme type things on YouTube of interviews.
She's known for giving awkward interviews.
Yes. There you go. So folks can search for her on YouTube and see that. Also, there's a couple of youngsters in the film. Gabriel Bateman, I guess, is the actor that plays the son. And the voice of the mechanical doll is Mark Hamill, probably best known for Star Wars as Luke Skywalker. The director is someone that is named Lars Klevberg, and the screenplay is by Tyler Burden Smith. I'm not too familiar with either of these folks, to be honest, but we'll obviously talk about their work tonight. The film is actually getting pretty good reviews by critics. It's at over 62-66%, somewhere in there, on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's considered a fresh tomato, and that's pretty good usually for a horror film. And it has pulled in about $14 million over the weekend, one place I see $22 million. I've already saw somewhere else that it's made over $50 million, and the budget was $10 million, so it's already made back its money. And the marketing has been decent, but I mean it hasn't been overwhelmingly expensive based off of the type I've seen, is my guess. But I'll let you folks give your thoughts on that. Let's get go around and discuss how we heard about this film and what we thought about it. So, Mike, why don't you start?
I heard about it because I'm a horror fan, and when they announced the remake, it was all over the place, and you know, been a lot of controversy over, another remake! This is gonna suck! This is horrible!
Hey, Mark Hamill's involved.
And then Mark Hamill was involved, and they're like, maybe I'll go see it. It's again, it's been everywhere. It's hard to get away from it. So, I saw it on, opening weekend. Did I see it opening night? I don't remember. My brain's in kind of a fog, but we did go catch it. And,
Mike, technically opening night is now Thursdays.
Yeah. Well, that's still preview night.
That doesn't count.
That counts as preview night. That counts as opening your presents before Christmas night. But yeah, but the thing is, it used to be special, you know, that'd be like one, maybe two movies a year would get that. And now everybody does. So,
right.
And in fact, I'm seeing it like the preview nights are starting at like 4 o'clock matinees in some places. So how is that not, I don't know. You know, it's stupid. Anyway. So I think I saw it opening night. But I don't remember. Was my brain sloshed after the last week? I really enjoyed it. It had to be the Sunday. So I saw it with my wife, and I, you know, all kudos to the lady across the aisle from us who was there with her four children, none of whom could have been older than 12. So Mom of the Year award right there. raising them right. And some of them were like tiny, like not like Infinite Arms tiny, like old enough to be able to watch what was going on the screen tiny, you know, like 5, 6, you know, in that elementary school age. So this was a perfect film for them. I was like, do they know Toy Story is next door? I mean, this is not the Andy they're looking for, but I enjoyed it a lot. I think, you know, my pitch on remake or my stance on remakes has always been that, you know, I'm willing to give anything a shot. It's always going to be an uphill battle because you have a lot to deal with. But there have been some great remakes, and we could go through the litany of them. And when people say, well, that's not a remake, well, now you're arguing terms and conditions, and, you know, it's fundamentally people for years considered certain films to be remakes, and now they're not being considered remakes because it's good, and therefore it cannot be a remake. And it defeats my argument. But give it a shot, and I think this is one of the better remakes to come along. I think they went in a very different direction, but ironically a direction kind of closer to the original story, or the intended, the original script, which we'll talk about later. It's updated in a way that works, I think, more with well with modern sensibilities. And I think people have a fun time with it if they're happy to go see a rated R practical effects semi-gory horror film. I think they'll enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun.
All right, very good. For me, I actually saw it on Monday night. After, I guess, the craziness of the weekend. Though I got walked in, and I was the only one there, it did get 6 more people that came in altogether.
Oh, you had to wear pants.
Indeed.
Not necessarily, as long as you don't stand.
That's right. I was not sure about the film. I mean, actually, I thought it was going to be pretty good based off the critics. I usually trust Rotten Tomatoes to the detriment of some of our listeners on the Dark Discussions podcast Facebook page who get pissed at me for following Rotten Tomatoes. But I generally do. And when a horror film gets a pretty good review, then that's usually a good sign because the normies actually think it's a good film too. I heard about it because, you know, when basically, you know, it was one of those things that was in the can or going to be made, and they were talking about it here and there. And then when Luke Hamill was cast. What the hell's the guy's name?
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill. That's right.
Luke is his character.
Luke Skywalker. Like, oh! Whatever his name is, was cast as Chucky, and the people started getting buzz around it. To me, it didn't matter because I honestly didn't know too much about Mark Hamill and his voiceover in animation. So it really didn't do anything for me. I went in completely blind, never seeing any of the original 7 or 8 films. So I just knew that it had something to do with a supernatural occurrence where a murderer gets his soul sucked into a doll and the doll comes to life and kills people. But I heard they were updating it. So I went in and I really liked this film a lot. As Mike said, the modern way they approached the film and got rid of the supernatural works a whole lot with Westworld and all these other things coming out. Robots taking over the world is a kind of a cool and more modern fright, I think. And where technology goes amok, again, that's a more modern fright as well. So I think it really worked. And like I said, it was semi-gory, but I felt it was very gory. There may be the kill of the year.
Well, it's not going to like Evil Dead territory.
Yeah, that's true. But there was like one or two scenes that were really holy smokes, I was not expecting that type of gore. Though I should have, because it was an R-rated film. But all in all, a really good film. For the only Chucky I've seen, I liked it a whole lot, and I wouldn't mind seeing more Chuckies. Abe.
So this film was hard to not hear about. I mean, this was a film that got a lot of buzz. You know, as it's that controversy because Child's Play, the original, and some of the other ones too, were very popular within certain circles. And I was very skeptical. I was really interested. I got kind of interested when I heard Mark Hamill was doing, because considering that the voice of the critical character of the main villain has been Brad Dourif for a long time. So the fact that they were also doing away with the supernatural elements was also kind of interesting. And I went to see it, I would think it was Wednesday. Very quiet day. It was that kind of a benefit because a lot of us just enjoyed the film. And I liked it. There's a weird moment where I still prefer the puppet effects of the original first movie and second. And maybe, but I think some of the uncanny valley and the weird parts of it kind of worked towards the weird robotic elements where how far they push the envelope of making Chucky look human kind of helped certain places. I didn't think the CGI worked too well, though, the little bits they did use. I thought the performance is very strong. I did like the bit of the humor in it. In fact, I thought there was a lot more humor than there were actual scares in the film. This is a pretty over-the-top kind of horror film where there's a nice bit of banter and also just kind of some dark humor thrown in. It's a fun movie. I've been seeing enough of the vibe between people because there's some people who are just diehard Child's Play fans of the original and some of the other early ones. But this is just a completely different take. I mean, this, aside from the character have the look and the name, it's a very different story entirely. And I think if you go into that film with that in mind, you'll enjoy it a lot more. It's fun. I think it does have some pretty some pretty ridiculously fun shit in there. And I thought Mark Hamill did really well filling the shoes of an iconic character. Because I know a lot of what he's worked in. Most notably the Joker. I still wasn't sure how he's going to pull it off of Chucky, but I think he made the character his own and in his own way. So overall, I liked it.
All right, very good. All right, Eric.
Well, I found out about it through social media and all the conversations that you guys were referring to. I didn't like this movie, and even more oddly, I can't tell you why. I can't point to anything and say that was done badly, because most of it wasn't done badly. It was done pretty well, but it just didn't do it for me. I've never really, like, the only killer doll that's ever had any impact on me was the Zuni fetish doll from Trilogy of Terror. Other than that, I just don't find the concept to be at all scary or frightening. Because just grab the damn things by the legs and smash it against something until it stops moving. I don't think it's a viable threat. So I didn't particularly care for the way the doll looked. I've never been a huge Child's Play. In fact, I don't think I'd actually watched any of them until the last couple of years, when I just decided I had to get a few under my belt so I could understand conversations about them. And really the only thing I liked about the movies is the fact that the doll kind of looks like John Gruden. And I could entertain myself by thinking about that. And I also kind of like it when Chucky would throw one of his frenetic temper tantrums. And all of that was missing from the remake here. I was also emotionally upset by the fact that there was somebody in this movie that looked like Jack Black, but was not Jack Black. that was emotionally damaging for me, because I wanted it to be Jack Black, and it was not Jack Black.
It looked like if Jack Black became a level 4 sex offender.
It was Dollar Store Jack Black, is what that was.
Right.
Who is this guy that looked like Jack Black? You mean that
the creepy repairman guy or landlord or whoever the hell he was?
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So this movie was not for me. I was pretty bored for most of it. But don't, if you're out there and you haven't seen this movie yet and you're interested in this movie, don't let me yuck your yum. Cause I can get why people are enjoying this movie. And I think this is just an Eric thing rather than it being a bad movie thing.
And,
yuck your yum.
He is 100% right. Eric is 100% right. John Gruden's, nickname is Chucky.
Yep.
Because of the original Child's Play. That's right. And for folks who don't know who John Gruden is, he is a Super Bowl winning football coach.
Yes.
Your yum. What the hell is that?
That's a phrase. You've never heard it?
No.
It's a thing. It's just like, hey, just because I don't like this doesn't mean I'm trying to make you not like it. That's all. All
right. I learned some today.
All right. So a couple of things. Trivia about that kid, Gabriel Bateman, that plays the lead boy. It's more his film than Audrey Plaza. But that actor, Gabriel Bateman, is the brother of the lead actress girl from Annabelle Creation.
Mm.
Yeah, so that was kind of interesting to note. All right, so before we continue, Eric, do we have a wiki for this?
Wiki. A mother gives her 13-year-old son a toy doll for his birthday, unaware of its more sinister nature.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep, that's right. That's pretty much sums it up, I guess. And whatnot.
And let's throw up a spoiler flag, just in case.
Yeah, might as well just throw it up right now and such.
Because I think talking about the updated concept is a spoiler in and of itself.
Pretty much.
So. All right, spoiler flag.
Yep, spoiler flag is up, and so we'll discuss everything and anything and critique the film and whatnot. So Eric, you did mention that to me through text that you weren't a fan of Kill a Doll films because of basically what you said. You could have just chucked it out the fourth story window and it would have shattered on the street below.
I just don't find it threatening, that's all.
Right, that's fair. All right, so am I wrong or am I right, but robots are evil and we must destroy them all?
Well, if they don't have a soul, they can't be evil.
That's true. They're dangerous, then. They're dangerous. That's dangerous, an excellent
possibly.
Point.
Dangerous, yeah. Possibly. But here's the thing. I will give them credit for the refresh of the concept here. In the original Child Play, it's the soul of a serial killer possesses a doll. Whereas here, the doll has artificial intelligence built into it, and due to a...
Sabotage.
Well, a really far-fetched premise.
they
somehow fire somebody, but let them finish one more doll before they leave. And he turns off all the safety features on the doll as far as its directions not to do things like swear or hurt people. and of course the AI is learning, and its directive is to be Andy's best friend to the end, and maybe takes things a little too far in eliminating threats to being his best friend.
And as I've said, you know, when we've done Westworld and whatnot, not to rehash things, but...
But that's what you do.
That's what I do. the issue is that robots or artificial intelligence don't have a conscience, so... Everything that they do is based off of logical choices based off of their programming. And if their logical choices are specific to making my buddy, meaning the child that they are supposed to follow, happy, they will do things that are immoral and unethical and evil in human standards. But to the robot, they...
And
not.
That's why they are going to win. I welcome our robot overlords.
Right. And, so Buddy, named, which is Chucky in this film, is Yeah, so when he sees children laughing at horror films, he thinks horror films are good. Or when he sees children getting upset at adults or pets, he considers those adults and pets as threats to child.
Yeah, basically, because as opposed to humans who can differentiate the reality from a constructed fiction, such as a movie, takes it as a universal fact of this kind of act, violence and brutality is acceptable and fun, so thus believes that by acting on it is succeeding in its programming of making its owner happy.
Exactly. And obviously, if it doesn't have these safety features on, it will possibly go too far, and it's unaware that it's actually upsetting its owner.
Well, and probably the part of the updated premise I will acknowledge that I enjoyed is the fact that the Chucky doll is manufactured by this massive corporation, which also makes a whole bunch of other stuff that's connected to the cloud, and therefore via Wi-Fi, Chucky has the ability to control pretty much any device manufactured by this company. And I thought that was a pretty clever addition to this remake.
Yeah, which it's not far-fetched either, because we have a lot of those kind of systems being put into play where a lot of things are very electronic-based and also connected to one sort of system. So the idea that this AI could potentially mess around with that is not too far off the beaten path. It just takes a really powerful sort of AI. And now, what I couldn't really buy is that the robot is built to be so strong.
Well, yeah, that's another thing, Abe. Thank you for bringing that up, because that's another one of the issues I have with the premise. Like, at least when it was possessed by a soul, that's not something that can really happen. So maybe a soul and a doll would give it super strength to be able to hurt a human being. I think the physical size of the doll would limit it from producing a whole lot of damage.
It still wouldn't have a lot of reach.
Not to mention the fact there's a certain moment where it actually jumps, at least in the air.
That happens?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
After Andy stabs him, he takes one last leap at him before getting shot by the cop.
Okay.
So I'm just saying that the robot somehow has powerful built-in legs to do ninja leaps and shit like that.
Right.
No, and that's fair. I mean, if you have like a wind-up doll and you have it walk across the room, if you just have like a dog's toy laying on the floor, it's going to trip over it. Or if you have a book that's laying on the floor, it's just going to bump into the book and stop. And Chucky appears to be not much stronger than something of that nature, even if he is mobile.
Yeah, again, and that's why I thought the AI controlling part was supposed to be that kind of handicap, so it'd be able to be a threat still. Because there's a moment where Andy's showing Chucky around, and the robot's only doing like baby steps to keep up.
Yeah, I think this is probably set, and maybe it would have been nice if they put a blurb up there in like the near future.
Right.
So and it is an AI, even if it was not hobbled. So it would be better at walking around your house than a typical children's toy you see right now. There is, however, no reason to make a child's toy that strong.
Strong enough to strangle a cat, for example.
Well, maybe strong enough to strangle a cat, I could see, because I don't know how strong you have to be for that, but when you have, like, four kids trying to hold it down, you know, that's a little hard. But I'm willing to, you know, again, roll with the premise just a little bit. It was a little silly. I mean, I'm with Eric that there is that issue of the killer doll film. So much of the killer doll for the killer doll to work needs to have something magical, or it has to, you have to be completely unaware of what's going on, because otherwise you know, you just punt it, right? I mean, and that mostly through the film, that kind of works in Chucky's advantage, but it's the idea of making him an AI and basically turning him into Skynet, right? I mean,
right.
And so his the fact that he's not physically imposing shouldn't be really a detriment, because he isn't going around just necessarily stabbing people. And the idea that it's one thing to right. sort of like zombies. It's one thing to fight off a single toy, but when you have a dozen toys in the Walmart trying to kill you, or in the Zed Mart or whatever it's called, then the threat becomes a little bit more understandable.
Right, right. Now, and for folks who don't have these things, because I don't, and I just learned about them from my nephew, because he does it at his house. But you can buy these little things that you plug into your outlets, and then you can plug your lights and TV or whatever into it, and then you can connect that to your their Bluetooth to your iPhone or to Alexa if you go that route, and you can turn on lights and your TV and your Xbox without even touching on a button, because these little plugs can do that. And drones you can link to your phone, and you can control phone.
By the way, just let me get this off my chest. Drones that you can buy in a retail outlet do not have fucking sharpened blades. Okay, I'm done.
They don't, but I couldn't tell if that was, I gotta be honest, I couldn't tell if it had sharpened blades attached to them.
It looked like razors were attached to the wings.
Right, or if they were built that way. I thought it was that their razors were attached to it.
Yeah, it looked to me like they were built that way. That's why I was complaining.
Oh, I thought Chucky had sabotaged him. Yeah,
that's what I was
and
thinking.
If that's the case, then how? But let's move on.
Okay, but either
well,
way,
he has chance.
Either way, yeah, exactly. My point is that this doll is also part of that Bluetooth network, and so as everybody here said, the doll can control the lights or turn on the TV or do any of these, control a drone or any of these other things, as long as it's part of the same Bluetooth network. So that makes it more interesting, because it makes it almost like a tool in the house besides just being a toy, and without its safety features on, and what we'll discuss how that scene and how that happens, then it can control those things in the wrong way. But obviously there has to be some suspension of disbelief. Obviously, if like Mike said, if you say it's in the near future, okay, the whole technology thing you can buy. But obviously the other thing, which is the strength of the doll, that I guess there's no one can really defend that. I mean, because it is
and
just...
It is what it is. I mean, you either go in willing to buy it or you go in not willing to buy it. And apparently I was not willing to buy it.
Well, and that's just a thing. Everyone has their limits. But it's like John Wick, how much punching and kicking can a single person do in 90 minutes without literally becoming physically exhausted and
will not be able to engage in a 20-minute gun/knife fight and sustain several wounds and keep running throughout New York City for another hour and a half.
Right, right. And so, but
a broken bone or whatever.
Right, but you go into that movie knowing that that's the kind of movie it is, and you go in. Nobody goes into Child's Play unless they thought it was Toy Story 4, not knowing the kind of movie that it is. Right. So you either can roll with it or you can't roll with it. And that's a mix on the viewer and a mix of on the how well it's presented in the story. I didn't have an issue with it. But it is what it is. What I liked about this, honestly, is that this says a lot about Andy. Because while they removed the safeties from the toy, from the Buddy doll, he didn't have to be an evil shit. That's kind of, he picks up on all the stuff from Andy. So in a way, this is sort of that be careful, how you behave around your child, because your child will pick that stuff up.
Right.
A nod to that is certainly, and most parents probably have dealt with this, when you accidentally swear in front of your child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then your child goes running around and going, shit, 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 shit. Yeah. Exactly. And has no idea what it is. They just know you said something you weren't supposed to, because everyone reacts and go run around saying that. And that's kind of what happens with Chucky, right? Is that Chucky's learning stuff with no context. Chucky is learning, you know, and right, and Chucky has one desire. Chucky is, you know, Chucky's a genie in a lot of ways, right? This is a genie story, right? Andy makes a wish and Chucky makes it come true.
Yeah.
You know, or like a monkey's paw.
Right.
But it just comes true in the ways that are absolutely fucking horrible.
Yeah,
on
the wrong way, right, yeah.
And again, it, you know, we talk about children are horrible, you know. The original premise for the original film was just bizarre. So the original one was based on the My Buddy doll. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Phil, do you remember those?
Maybe.
So you're going to have to look up a YouTube commercial for My Buddy and insert the song here.
My buddy, my buddy, my buddy, my buddy. Wherever I go, he goes. My buddy, my buddy, my buddy, my buddy. My buddy and me. Kiss sister. Wherever I go, you're going to go. Kiss sister.
My Buddy and Kid Sister, each sold separately from Play School.
Right, which is why, you know, in the, what were they called, Abe?
The good guy dolls,
right, for copyright reasons. And now My Buddies aren't a thing, and so they could go with Buddy Doll and, you know, playing off Apple, so it's Buddy with an I, right? You know, mm-hmm. Buddy with an I. And that works for the modernization. But the original idea was of the good guy doll. I don't remember what it was called, but you know how like you have the toys with the action features,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. You'd have dolls where the hair grows and you can cut it, or G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. Well, the idea was that it was a doll that you could beat, you know, that it would bruise, you
what?
Know, and you could put Band-Aids on it. And it just
that's fucked up.
The hell.
It actually sounds so much worse now that I'm saying it out loud than when I first read it.
Jesus.
Because it was just it was a doll that had sort of had like artificial blood under the skin or something like that, and you could cut it and it would bleed and
what the fuck?
Yeah, I know. Wow, it sounds so much worse now. Oh my. and so in the original story, right, Andy gets one of these dolls and his blood in reality mixes with his real blood mixes with the doll's fake blood, like, you know, I don't know, blood brother thing or something like that. And you're most of the movie, you don't know whether the doll is actually killing people or if it's Andy killing people, you know, but it's sort of that idea of it's that bonding between them before you got to the series. And again, it's wish fulfillment, you know, it's that he's acting out what Andy wants him to do. You know, so this actually fits the original storyline much more closely than what you ended up getting in the film that was directed by Tom Holland?
Tom Holland,
that's right.
Yeah,
right.
From Fright Night. And, you know, so you didn't have the Brad Dourif thing, and it changes. It makes it, I think, you know, in some ways a more interesting story, but such a weird fucking premise. Like, I don't know anybody who could have taken that premise of the baby beat-em-up doll, whatever it would have been called. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody could have taken that seriously. And honestly, I don't know how – it's weird because, I mean, could that original premise have worked now? In the 80s, it seemed like there's a whole lot of weird shit people were willing to accept in horror films.
It probably could work in Japan, right?
Yeah, if it was in Japanese, yeah, we could work it too.
He could make anything work in Japan.
Yeah. But so much of what made Chucky work was Brad Dourif. And then the trailers, the commercials, a little bit you heard, there was like one line from Mark Hamill, and it sounded close to the Brad Dourif line.
Mm.
But for the most part, he does a different voice. He doesn't slip into his Joker voice. Although he could very easily have done it, there is a twisted innocence to the way that Chucky talks throughout the film.
And I'll give him credit because I did not find myself during the film thinking about, oh, hey, that's, you know, that's Mark Hamill. It was just the voice of the doll, so he didn't stick out like a sore thumb, and that was good.
Right, right. Yeah, I actually didn't even know. I mean, I knew because I heard about it earlier, but I completely forgot until we were talking yesterday about the Sierra Con and whatnot, and then we were talking offline, and I brought up that Luke Skywalker did a really good voice for Chucky, and you're right, he does not, you would not know it was him if, in other words, you can't tell it's like Tom Hanks and Tim Allen, you can tell,
right.
You know those voices, and they don't change their voices for Toy Story in the next theater over. But Mark Hamill, you would not know it was him unless you knew it was him by reading about it.
And so there's a great interview with him where he talks about his interest in voice work, and he was always interested kind of in doing it. And he's had a very long career in doing voice work in, big roles and small roles. Him doing the Joker for the Batman animated series and then many other things afterward is what got a lot of people to notice he was doing voice work. But he did lots and lots of little things. But he talks about, his interest in voice work and how it's like such a kind of pure form of acting because nobody's casting you for how you look, except for Disney's Lion King, where they're casting people for how they look. But anyway, this is going back even before he did Star Wars. He was doing some voice work.
Now, I like what you said, Mike. Obviously, yeah, he has no context of Chucky because he doesn't have a thought process like humans, where he's evil or not, or doing good or not. He just is imprinted to Andy and wants to make Andy happy. So so you're right, though. Also, the other thing you said, which is he's almost like
a toy geek.
No, not that part. The other part. He's more like a personality, a walking personality of Andy, in a sense. Or as bastardization of Andy's personality, because like you said, if Andy was the type of person like his buddy Omar, who seemed like a prick, or the landlord who, or just some jerk that kicks dogs, then Chucky would say, oh, okay, that's what will make Andy happy, so I'm going to start kicking the dog. So if Andy always pat the dog and said, I love you and all that, then the doll would do the same. And so the doll would become, with no safeties on, it would become what its master does.
Basically, where you're going with this is that it's not the doll's fault. It's because people suck.
Well, not necessarily in this case, because Andy didn't do anything really.
No, he totally sucks.
No, he didn't really do anything bad to make Chucky become what he was. What he
doesn't
did
mean he doesn't
was,
suck.
Okay, that's fine. We get the idea that people suck. But my point is that if he's laughing at horror films, that doesn't mean he's a prick or being evil. It just means he thought the scene was funny. And so Chucky says, okay, that killing people and ripping their faces off in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, that's funny. So that's a good thing. I can do that for Andy. Or if Andy says, I hate you, after, his mother's boyfriend's a prick, which is a normal thought process when an adult does that terrible thing to a kid, the doll says, oh, okay, he hates this man, so I should get rid of him. So in other words, it wasn't like he was wishing evil. It's just the doll misinterpreted everything.
Well, he kind of was, but didn't mean it. I mean,
it's just a sort of moment kind of thing.
Well, yeah, it's like the scene from 12 Angry Men when Henry Fonda says, okay, so the kid screamed, I'm going to kill you. That doesn't mean he actually killed the man. I mean, come on, every time we go home, how many times have you said, honey, I could kill you for what you just did? So it doesn't mean you're actually a murderer, you're going to do evil, if you say something like, I hate you, I wish you were dead. So the doll misinterpreted it, right?
Well, but it's interesting, though, because it's interesting to me now that you're talking about this. I mean, how do we as humans understand that we don't mean it? You know, because if you're just looking at it from what is said and how it's reacted, how would an artificial intelligence know the difference? How would it pick what are the clues it could pick up on to understand that they don't mean it? I don't know if there are any.
Well, how does a child know it? And the child knows it because they're taught multiple lessons, and Andy doesn't know what the hell he's doing with the toy, right? He can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and obviously another big part of this in commentary is a lot of this is also about leaving kids alone, kids not socializing, kids leaving their lives in the screen, right, as opposed to interacting with real people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the idea that literally his best friend is a robot. But it's the same thing as what happens when you let the screens raise your child. It's really not much different than, you know, what happens when you let a child raise Chucky. You know, it's the same mm-hmm. basic idea. Be careful of what you seeds you plant.
Well, if I could interject too, Eric, it's like, you know, like a lot of times when we review films and we're talking about a kill, you said, oh, that's an awesome kill. Or if I'm watching Game of Thrones and when Cersei nukes the Sept, I go, yes, it's the best. You know, if the doll was with us, the doll would say, okay, Cersei's is good and this serial killer in this movie is good.
Well,
so I guess that's good.
Yeah, well, and I guess that's the point I'm trying to make is that if I'm in a room with you and you watch the set blow up and say, that's awesome, I know you don't actually want to blow up hundreds of people and think that's awesome, but how would an artificial intelligence witnessing that know the difference? Where I was coming
and
from.
I think another thing, too, as I mentioned earlier, is that the robots don't have the capacity to differentiate that kind of information that they're receiving or that they're seeing, you know, because when they see a kid laughing, that's a positive to them because they're like, okay, this mm-hmm. is a positive thing. Andy's happy. His friends are happy because they're seeing what that's going on here. So if I do that, then that is going to get a positive reception as well. And when he cuts Andy and everyone's freaking out, he can't comprehend what is wrong. He can't understand what he had done. I mean, he even simplified how when he murders the cat was causing Andy misery. He got rid of the cat. That should be good.
Mm-hmm.
But and he's horrified, and he still can't understand that. And it just escalates from one thing to the next until eventually he starts murdering people, starting with his mother's boyfriend.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And
Andy's a little doofus, too, because honestly, I think the correct course of action is when the sentient doll kills the cat. Hey, Mom! The doll killed the cat.
Right. I felt the same way too.
Yeah,
Eric. Yeah.
Now the thought is because he had tried to tell him earlier that the doll was responsible for certain things that he wouldn't believe him, and kids when shit like that happens, they get scared and do stupid shit. He gets scared. He's going to be blamed for the cat's death, and he probably disposed of it because of that.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean,
yeah, I think you know their children are not entirely rational.
It's true,
and that's kind of why this works better if he's just turning 13, right?
I think so. That's it.
Yeah. So he's not supposed to be like even 15 or 16 years old, or you know 5 or 6, where he's going to be in that like age where you're going to just tell what happened because you don't realize what you're saying is so freaking stupid. He knows that he's going to feels a little responsible whether he should or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mind the fact that he doesn't say do what he should because he's a stupid kid and he reacts with what a lot of stupid kids do, which is that, as I know we've said before on the podcast, the thing kids fear the most is their parents.
Yeah.
And so they don't always react rationally because they're afraid of what their parents will do to them. When they find out, right? When they find out what I did, and
right,
most of the time they don't do anything horrible,
right? Right, and to be honest, I mean, based off of what was going on, if he went up to his mother and said, "Mom, Chucky killed the cat," the mother's going to think he's a liar.
Not only that, I think his kid's absolutely fucking insane too. You know, he's already in the early stages of murdering people.
Yeah, the one of the the three tests of a sociopath as a child, which is burning, wet the bed, and killing animals. And you already see, you know, you see, there's the first one right there, the animal. So, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, they didn't go that way where they could have had the boy say, Chucky, how did you kill the cat, and see if he would answer or not, you know. So,
well, but you already got a psycho killer doll. I don't know that you would expect it to tell the truth. But at the same time,
but does it know to lie? Right.
Yeah,
we don't know.
It has no concept of right or wrong, or it wouldn't have killed the cat.
Right, and I don't think it knows it's psycho. I think it says, "Oh, I killed the cat because the cat is being mean to Andy." Yeah, exactly. So it's a curiosity. I mean, but that whole concept that you brought up, Mike, is absolutely the point of the whole story, which is. The doll is doing things based off of how Andy reacts,
mm-hmm.
and yet it isn't because Andy's reacting because he's an evil prick like his buddy Omar. Well, not an evil prick, but just a prick like his buddy Omar. But it's acting that way because it misinterprets Andy's true feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
if the doll understood Andy's true feelings, the doll would have discovered that the boyfriend of his mother was married and told him that information to get him out of his life, not murder the guy, right? So mm-hmm. it just doesn't understand, right?
It's a more direct path.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so that's true. It got rid of the guy pretty quick right after that, yeah.
Also, I just want to bring this up. Is it just me? Was the whole bit with the face on the watermelon and wrapping it like a present really fucking weird?
That was weird.
Yeah,
that was strange because I could believe the doll taking direct action and killing, as Phil said, direct action and get rid of the boyfriend. He kills him. But then I was confused, and it's weird because the doll also kind of does plan taking a book from a slasher movie. Unless she saw that from the movie and copied it.
That's what he did.
Well, he did copy it from the movie, but still, like I.
that's why it makes sense, because he kills the guy and gets rid of him from Andy's life because this guy hurts Andy, and then Andy likes Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, and so he takes the flesh off the face and he puts it over a watermelon.
It's so bizarre, though.
Well, the reason it's bizarre is because of Hollywood lawyers.
Okay.
So, the studio apparently only had the rights to Child's Play.
Okay.
To remake the original film.
Okay.
They had no rights to the subsequent sequels, which were made independent of the original studio that made the first Child's Play.
Even though they're based on the same intellectual property?
Right, sort of like how for a
how
while...
How does that work? All right.
But whatever. It's sort of like what, Mike? Like how there's... after Friday the 13th Part 8, I think the rights from Paramount to New Line, and New Line had the rights to Jason, but couldn't use the term Friday the 13th.
Okay, yeah.
Or how...
Stupid, I forgot.
Right, or how there was the one James Bond script for Thunderball that the rights for that are owned differently, so they just remade Thunderball to do Never Say Never Again, and that's why, you know, somebody was made, Sony was, either whoever was, made a separate James Bond film that wasn't an MGM film on the Broccoli line, because they own the light rights to that one James Bond script.
Gotcha. Okay, so
apparently, not surprisingly, in one of the later Chucky films, like 2 or 3, Chucky cuts its person's head off.
Okay.
And they didn't want to do that in this film because they didn't have the rights to Chucky cutting someone's head off. So they couldn't do that. And so they said, okay, well, then can, you know, and that is what eventually led to putting his face on a watermelon.
Right. They had the Chekhov's gun earlier by the kids watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. So,
which, if I read the article correctly, and I may not have, that ended up being just a massive coincidence, and perhaps it was the fact that they were planning on putting that in there, maybe where they ended up getting the idea to do that from the writers on how to get around the headless problem. My guess is that the attorneys just said,
better,
you know what, it's not worth the headache, you know. Right.
Either way. It works in the film for that reason, that the doll sees that Andy likes, right, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 and was laughing with his friends at the face being ripped off and Leatherface wearing the face. And then this boyfriend guy is a jerk, so eliminate him. And so he combined the two together. Now, wrapping it in paper, gift wrap, that was stupid. And even they get around that in the film because he says that was stupid of us to do that because now the woman thinks it's a gift.
Yeah, that was
so. But you're right. If it was different, they would have put it in a box or wrapped it in gift wrap, but upside down. You know, the back of the gift wrap, not the front. So, or they would have used newspaper.
Right.
You know, even though no one has newspapers anymore, but. So, yeah, that was kind of...
I think once he's giving the head as a present...
Present, yeah.
Right, or he would have put it in a garbage can and just walked the garbage can out to the
dumps. Or just how about a fucking trash bag?
Something like that, yeah.
Exactly.
And at least this really long, drawn-out sequence that they're trying to get the whole thing back.
So, Eric, I don't know if I've mentioned this, but kids are stupid.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Oh, you'd be amazed.
Yeah, the kids are stupid, but...
I mean, that is like some common sense right there. I mean, the gift wrapper says, open me.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to verify that was bizarre.
It was bizarre, and you know what? And again, it's. I thought it was funny. It was a little... stretchy, certainly, you know, with the, you know, open it on my birthday and the, yeah, I think they ran the joke too far.
Right. Oh, way too far.
Yeah.
And that was the problem, but then they killed the woman off, so it wasn't such a big deal.
Right. He had already got the head out of there by then and tossed it. But again, it was pretty bad to just toss it down that chute that leads down in the apartment building to the basement, because as we discover, especially a body part, I mean...
Well, that I can actually buy. I can buy a kid not thinking about where the garbage goes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And you know what's funny, too, is that it was just the skin, right? So...
Yeah.
So it wasn't like it was this giant head that he had to get. You know what I'm saying? So
he didn't have to keep it on the watermelon.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He could just pull it right off the watermelon, and they could have done anything with it. They could have tossed it in the garbage disposal, for crying out loud, or put it in the fireplace, or who knows?
Right.
You know? I mean,
feed it to the cat. Oh wait, the cat's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cat was thrown down the dumpster too.
Poor kitty.
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, equal opportunity for kitties. You know, dogs get all the glory deaths.
Dogs get all the horror movie kills.
But I think what was kind of a bit of a stretch was the very fact that they get rid of Chucky for the first time, but the janitor just so happens to be a tech whiz who could put Chucky back together.
He's handy, man.
Well, he is kind. They kind of give the Chekhov's gun that he is somewhat of a tech because he's installing all the security cameras and all that stuff. So,
right, and I don't think he has to do a whole lot. He's just getting a new battery.
Right, exactly. He's not a pervert. He may be a pervert, but he has some intelligence. And like you said, I don't think it was really that techy, right? I mean, I know he was going to open it up and say, because he says to Chucky, let me open you up and see what you got inside. So maybe he does know tech stuff. But again, it appeared, based off of my opinion, I felt that he had some techie knowledge anyway. But you're saying, Abe, you didn't think so?
Well, I mean, it was just like, I don't know. I mean, they just took out the battery and stuff like that. Maybe it was just a little thing like, okay, well, isn't that some bad luck? But
right, I would have had more of an issue with if he'd done some extensive repairs or if he had reprogrammed him. He basically was like the guy from the Al, I think was his name, from Toy Story 2, who like gets the toys and refurbishes it.
Yeah.
He basically is just there cleaning it up, buys a new Chucky outfit, you know, so he can put it, a nice clean one, and put it on eBay and try to get some money off. You know,
and for some reason had to sniff it.
Well, he is creepy, and the way to show somebody creepy in a film is have them smell something.
I know, but it was the doll's clothes. I was thinking, like, oh, no, is he going to molest the doll?
Abe, I hate to tell you this, but that is legal in Massachusetts.
Jesus Christ. I'm just thinking,
I
like,
don't know why I think that's so funny, but I really do.
I was just looking at him getting way too excited playing off the doll.
Oh.
I'm just thinking, Chucky went through enough. Leave him alone.
I want to imagine if Chucky had to go through that. That's terrible. Jesus.
Okay. I'm going to excite myself here.
But yeah, he was going to refurbish it and pretend that it was never open because he got a box as well, and it looked like he was going to repackage it as brand new, based off of what I saw. But it was kind of weird though, because even though they had some value, they kept on saying this is the older model, and within a month, no one wants them anymore anyway. So yeah. I know maybe in 20 years from now, they would have had some value, but at that point, people were just tossing them, I thought, because they wanted to get the upgrade.
Yeah, and that's an interesting. I think that's a little interesting commentary right there about how the fact that the upgrades happen so soon, because they mentioned that the one that Chucky is based around was only like, it came out like last year or something like that, mm-hmm. and they're already getting ready for the next one.
Right.
Sort of like with phones and stuff.
Right. Yeah, they were making it look similar to phones or laptops where you have to, or iPads where you change them in every 2 years for a new one, basically.
Mm-hmm. I did like that they, you know, again, it's both appropriate, you know, the idea that they're selling the accessories, the things to dress the doll up. But I got a kick out of the fact that they did a Leprechaun costume, so there was a shout out to Leprechaun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and Teddy Ruxpin too.
Oh, and a Teddy, right? Because the original doll was basically a knockoff of Teddy Ruxpin and My Buddy, right? Because Teddy Ruxpin was for those who were younger. I don't even know if they still have it, but Teddy Ruxpin was a doll, a teddy bear. You put an audio cassette in, and it would talk to you at night, and it was creepy, and you were waiting for the doll to come to life and murder you in your sleep. And you basically take the Teddy Ruxpin gimmick and put it in a My Buddy doll, and that's what a good guy doll was.
Right. And here they call them buddies, right? B-U-D-D-I. Right. Right? Yeah, and that's where, like you said, to get the Apple or the internet thing, they changed the Y to an I.
Right, and I have a feeling, like, if you look, because some of this is probably rights issue, so maybe they don't have the right to use the good guy doll name. Maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe they just change it because it seems more natural. But it's sort of like, you know, all the Child's Play films since the fourth have been Chucky films, not Child's Play films.
Yeah.
So that might be a rights issue too. So yeah, I'm curious where all the naming rights are with this and what images they can and can't use. Obviously, this is very different, but also very similar to the original. It's obviously a knockoff Chucky from the first Child's Play film, but it's, if you put it next to the original, you're not going to confuse it.
Right.
I think the reason, I mean, the only thing I found off-putting a little bit was the head is very large.
Yeah.
But I think what they, yeah. but I think what they tried to do is they tried to do it completely animatronic.
Mm-hmm.
And animatronics are so much better now than they were then. So we're back then where they had to have like 10 different heads. I think they've just stuffed everything in one head, but.
Yeah. At the same time, I was thinking to myself, looking at that doll, I was like, I'm pretty sure if they went to make that in real life, they would focus group that doll and get a whole bunch of survey responses saying that thing's fucking creepy. I don't want it in my house.
Yeah. Right. Similar to the Annabelle doll, right? I mean, no one would want
it. Yeah. Yeah, but on a scale of like 0 to fucking creepy, you know, Annabelle's like an 11.
Right.
Chucky is probably, this 7. Chucky is, I would even say like a 5 or a 6, where like a regular Cabbage Patch is probably like a 2 or a 3.
Right.
You know? But yeah, he's in the middle of that, right? It's not that creepy. You could see where it's a, somebody marketed it and thought maybe some people didn't find it all that creepy, but most people would. So I could see how that might make it to market, might slip through the cracks.
Right. That's fair. That's fair. I mean, it's like the Annabelle doll. You know, you just got to buy into it that that's someone would purchase it. And these are pretty ugly, but they're not like evil looking like the Annabelle doll. So let's talk about that. The scene in Vietnam. So basically, the doll's made in Asia. Vietnam is one of those powerhouse.
Should have been China, but Hollywood's afraid to mention China in any kind of negative connotation because there's too much money involved.
I missed that. I thought it was China, and I was ready to give them kudos for having the balls to piss on China.
Right.
And in such an obvious way, right? You know, where they actually,
mm-hmm.
They
took the truth of China and superimposed it on Korea. Because what's the difference?
Oh, Vietnam, you mean?
Well, Bill, as Eric just said, what's the difference?
Well, there's a big difference, but right, I see.
There was a war between a South and a North, and one side won, one side lost. Who even remembers?
Right. And that's true. In reality, Vietnam is one of the major countries now that things are made in. So, you know, made in Vietnam can be as common nowadays as made in China or made in Mexico. So
I'm just saying there have been many, 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 many stories about the undesirable working conditions in factories in China. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, it's horrendous, yeah.
Absolutely. So it should have been China.
It should have been. You're absolutely right. And so basically this is people are treated like shit. This guy...
is this exhausted reason, or
something? Yeah, must have fucked up or something. And his boss is a prick and says, you're fired. Once you're done, get out. And you're going to go back on the streets where I found you in the first place. And if this was a different country, like the United States, the guy, instead of sabotaging the doll, he would have went home, got a gun, and came back and blew his boss. But this ain't the U.S. This is Vietnam. So instead, he just sabotages the doll and jumps out the window and kills himself.
Well, and I'm also pretty sure if somebody gets fired, because I don't know about you, Phil, but in my place of employment, when somebody gets let go, they don't finish out whatever they're doing. You know, they're escorted to their desk to clear out their personal belongings and then escorted out of the building. He wouldn't have been allowed to finish that doll, but whatever.
Right. Yeah. If they don't have you take all your belongings and leave that day, they still escort you out of the building and you can come back in 2 weeks to pick up your stuff.
Our company just mails it.
Oh, you're right. Or they just mail it. That's an excellent point. Yeah. So,
the last thing you want is an angry fired employee being near any product you're trying to
make. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was somewhat unrealistic. Again, though, maybe in these
bad employment areas. You know, that's what they do.
I'm listening to myself talk, and I sound like I'm shitting all over this movie. I honestly didn't think it was that bad. I was just kind of bored during it. It's not as bad as I'm acting. I don't know why I'm saying all these things. I don't have animosity towards this movie.
No, and in fairness, sir, you are the first person that I've seen, and I'm not saying you're the only one, but of the people I've seen who have pissed on the film, the people who have pissed on the film have basically been, well, I knew it was going to suck, but I gave it a chance anyway.
Right.
But it's not as good as my beloved Child's Play from, you know, 1988. And it's like, well, you know, all right. And I just, it's not worth even engaging in that conversation because they're going in with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
And you're not. And you're just saying it didn't work for you, but you also admitted you have an anti-doll bias or whatever, killer doll movie bias.
Whatever you want to call it. Mental problems. Let's just say I have mental problems.
Well, we knew that.
Where did
the we all have certain Eric. Things that we don't necessarily, you know, enjoy.
Eric, where did the doll touch you?
I can only tell you if I'm allowed to molest the doll.
In Massachusetts, you can.
Mike said it's legal in Massachusetts, Eric, so I guess that's where you have to go. I don't
know. Just go to a movie theater with a doll, and then you're all set.
Oh, my God! That's a brilliant idea. You can creep the fuck out of some people. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, and I, you know, that Think Geek or whatever website, I'm sure they sell these Chucky dolls. So.
Oh, I might have to do this.
Yeah, but you'll probably get stabbed. You don't want that. I was just kidding. I'm just trying to be funny.
I'll turn up dead, and you guys will be like, he didn't believe in killer dolls.
Maybe if you go without pants, that would help.
Yeah, with no pants and the doll.
Oh, it's so wrong.
So the Vietnam scene, but yeah, it didn't occur to me. I just thought they chose Vietnam because Vietnam is the new hip country that makes everything, but you're right. It was probably because they chickened out.
Oh, absolutely. Just like that. They continually do this. Like the Red Dawn remake.
Oh, my God, that was such a joke.
With China, and they changed it because they chicken.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Well,
pussies.
Not from an accounting standpoint.
Yeah, money is more. Yeah, money's actually, you're right, Mike. It's not. You're wrong, Mike. It's not pussies. It's because it's money. We can't piss off a billion people. Where the government decides everything. So it's like, well, we got to be buddies with the government over there.
Not really.
But, yeah.
Well,
anyway, let's move
on.
Yeah,
it's just too big of a market.
Yeah. Right. So that's how Chucky becomes defective and lands in wherever this city is. This one, Eric, I have no idea where it took place, even though I know it was filmed in Canada. but I don't know where they were implying that it took place.
I think it's supposed to be. It's got to be Canada, because otherwise, why the fuck would they name the store Zedmart?
Interesting observation.
Well, maybe that was the name of the owner.
Zed.
Zed's dead.
Zed's dead.
Zed's dead, baby.
Yep. So, what's a chopper? No. Where did you get this motorcycle? It's a chopper, baby. Where did you get this chopper? From Zed. Who's Zed? Zed's dead, baby. Zed's dead.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, so his mother works at the Zed's Mart, and basically gets the doll for free because rather than them returning it to get a discount replacement from the manufacturer, she basically blackmails her boss and says, "You're gonna let me have this doll, or I'm gonna mention how you know you had an affair with the stock girl."
Mm-hmm.
And so that's
well, and Aubrey Plaza was not bad in this movie, but she was really just not much of a factor.
Yeah, she was
kind of in the periphery and didn't feel like she had a huge role.
She had a supporting role. She was important for a little bit at the beginning, and then once Chucky was finally brought in, she kind of became a secondary character. Absolutely.
Which is interesting because in the original, the mother was more the front, forefront character along with the police officer, in fact. So this is kind of like a switch around in terms of.
Right, in the original, though, Andy's a lot younger, right?
Yeah.
He wants a doll. He's like 7 or 8, and there's only so much you can do with a 7 or 8-year-old.
Yeah, okay, that's a fair point. So. You're right. Well, and that's the thing. He gets the doll, and she's all excited. She got the doll for him, and he's like, "Ma, I'm going on 13. Why would I want a doll?" And she goes, "Well, I know, but it's the hip thing." And he goes, "All right, thanks, Mom." And then he turns out to kind of like it, and I can understand why, because I could see adults liking it, because it is kind of cool, because you can use it to do things, you know. I mean. It's kind of cool.
Like, if his hands were big enough to grab a beer, you could have it go get your beer out of the fridge.
Exactly.
All right, let's be honest. We all know what people would be using it for, because he has a mouth.
Oh, that's Massachusetts.
Only if it was made in Japan.
Oh, this is so wrong.
It's Japan.
Oh no!
That's terrible.
Oh.
And yet nobody's saying I'm wrong.
No, you're not.
Sadly, no, you won't be wrong. I honestly thought that was what the Jack Black guy was going to do.
Buddy 2.0 with
me. Oh, Jesus!
That's terrible.
See what happens.
That's the thing, is that they oddly could have gone there if this was a pervert.
Oh, wait. So hold on, we got Chucky's Canadian, and he's ginger.
Oh my god!
Oh no! He's gonna go.
It's a Sean Fox doll.
Oh no! You just got us.
Oh no! Run, Sean! Run!
God, this went off the rails.
it's insulting one of our listeners, Mike. That's not.
Not right. Insulting. I mean, I like Chucky.
Apparently, a little too much.
Got a pretty mouth.
Your mouth doll.
What's that? Oh my
God. I would imagine though, you clean that doll out would be a nightmare.
Oh, all right.
Oh God.
No, I'm just thinking now.
I don't know how to get out of this.
I'm just thinking this awful thing now that. You know, the kid's beating off, and Chucky watches, and then he says, "I want to make you happy."
Then rips it off.
Okay.
No.
We're all going to the list now.
I'm already there.
It's a terrible thing. Just a terrible thing. I'm telling you, that's why we got to get rid of robots. I don't like robots.
That's your main reason, because people want to fuck.
Oh, come on! Look, how far is this removed from Westworld? I mean, that's where we're going. We've got a straight line from
Chucky. That's a fair point, Mike. That's a fair point.
To the brothel in Westworld, the Mariposa.
Filled with short gingers.
Those were the original models, were short Canadian gingers.
And
nobody wanted to come to the park. So they all replaced it, you know, with Sandy Newton. You know, it's...
Oh.
Well, you remember what Baelish said in Game of Thrones? You know, his brothel has delights for everybody, so you never know. I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so, what did you think of the pervert's death? I thought that was the best death.
That was a pretty damn good death.
Which death?
The
guy who wasn't Jack Black.
Yeah, the landlord guy.
Knock off Jack Black, yeah. That was fun.
That was a pretty good death. I still don't know why Chucky was killing him.
I guess because he was there.
But, oh, yeah, because that was when Chucky suddenly became almost kind of sentient, right? Because that was when he says, I'm getting revenge on everybody. Because he didn't have to kill him, and he didn't have to kill the woman down the hall.
Well, actually...
He's got motive now because...
Because on the security cameras... Well, that was that, but also because Chucky was watching the security cameras and heard her talk, Andy talking to the woman saying, you're my new best... her saying, you're my new best friend.
You're right. You're right. And he was jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Or if not jealous, he was eliminating a competitor. That's fair. Okay, all right. All right. So these questions are being answered. But the pervert...
I think he was just in the way because he had him captive.
Yeah, that's true. And he said, I'm going to sell you on eBay. So, yeah, okay. All right, fair enough. So what do you guys think of how Chucky could Bluetooth into the cars, the Ubers?
Well, to me, that was the most intriguing concept of the movie, is the fact that he could control the other devices. That part I kind of grooved on.
And you know what? That car... show is what makes what Mike said correct, which is this is in the near future for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it just not that far, but enough, because even the woman was surprised that it was a driverless car.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to say something there?
Dan and I are continually arguing on the Scansity podcast about automated vehicles, and this is one of my main arguments against them.
I would,
because they can
like
be hacked
into. Killer dolls will possess them, and
no, because they can be hacked into.
Yes,
right. Well, I think if they were to do that, I mean, there has to be some sort of emergency override.
Well,
but how does the computer know?
Yeah. Being hacked? Anyway,
yeah,
neither here nor there.
Right, but yeah, I think Chucky. Being able to control various things due to the cloud and Bluetooth and all these other things is what makes him very dangerous.
Yes.
And we see that firsthand the second half of the film, basically.
Hmm.
Yeah, so... all right, so what other scenes do we want to talk about? Or plot points did we miss or we wanted to get into?
I do want to say, I mean, this is one of the things I enjoy about it, is that once you get... They set up the premise and they follow through with it, right? They don't just limit it to, oh, look, he's an intelligent doll going all Terminator on people. And by the way, I like the fact that they referenced the Terminator. The girl, right, makes a joke about the robot apocalypse.
Oh, yes.
So they don't name it. I don't think they name Terminator by name, but they basically allude to it. Is that it's not just Chucky going around killing people with a knife. You know, that they lean into the premise about as much as a low-budget horror film is going to be able to. And it does lead into, if the film has some success and they want to make a larger budget sequel, you know, there's a lot of places they could go with it if they wanted to do it. With a Chucky apocalypse or something like that. If they want to do it on, right? What was the movie with Will Smith, I, Robot? Except instead of Alan Tudyk, it's a whole bunch of
gingers.
It's a whole bunch of little short ginger Canadian Sean Fox killer robots with
and,
pretty
and maybe a good movie.
Well, it's still a good movie, just maybe a movie Eric would enjoy.
Yeah, I was slamming on iRobot there.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Gotcha.
That was not a good movie.
It was not a terribly good movie. It was okay.
It was. I enjoyed myself, even though it wasn't.
It wasn't terrible.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a fair point, Mike. I like the fact. I mean, I know the in the original, he's evil and killing people all straight out. And here they could have just turned him into programmed as a Terminator. You know, just kill. But I liked the whole thing that made the film interesting was that first 45 minutes watching the character of Chucky develop with the safety features off into what he becomes, and that's the thing that I think makes this an interesting film, because you're right, if they want to go sequels, they could have sequels based off of just humanity alone, where they don't have to have Terminators. They could just be robots without the safety features on, right, that see that humans kill each other all the day. All you have to do is watch the news, where and in politics everybody hates each other, and in social media it's a cesspool of hate, and you know, on and on and on. And they can go, oh, that's good. That's what we're supposed to do, and just go nuts and have an apocalypse of Chuckies.
Well, we do have small humanoids with their safety features turned off. You have two of them in your own home.
Okay, that can be true.
They don't come with safety features. That's why you have to put them around your house. That's why you won't let them play with scissors until a certain age.
Yeah, that's true. Unfortunately, they are. When you tell them the cat isn't supposed to be strangled, they won't do that, though. While the Chuckies will continue. Well, that's true too. But the Chuckies will go, yeah, but.
Yeah. And then
it's best to get rid of the problem that bothers him.
But then we find out later in the news that Phil got his face cut off and tied to a watermelon.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
God.
I don't let my kids watch the, you know, that type of film. So.
And that's why the mother next to us in the movie theater is a better parent than you are.
Right. Well,
brought her 5-year-old or 6-year-old son to watch Chucky mutilate people.
Yeah, I cannot imagine letting my kids watch the guy fall onto the saw and think that's okay for a, you know, at 5 and 6 years old. So
well, that's,
I mean,
that's my go-to answer when people say, "Why are you a horror fan?" It's because my parents didn't know the meaning of the words age appropriate.
Right. Yeah. I mean, my parents were more apt to be that way with the nudity, but with the violence, it wasn't as bad, because you see it in James Bond and all that other crap. So it was like,
yeah, I don't think I watched a real. I mean, I remember Trilogy of Terror from preschool age, from like 70 to 74, but that was a TV film.
Right.
I don't think I watched anything with, you know, a whole lot of violence. Like, I'd seen like the TV version of one of the Friday the 13th films and of Halloween.
Well, and you saw the thing.
But the thing, I was 11 or 12 when I saw that. Okay. You know, so I wasn't like 5 or 6. You know, but of course I would have been like 10 for Friday the 13th, or 11 when it was on TV, and maybe 8 or 9, you know, for Halloween, or 10 for Halloween. But I think The Fog in 79, I saw that in theaters, might have been the first horror film I saw in a theater.
Okay.
And that's not that bad, you know?
Yeah, that's not too bad, you're right.
You know, and that is hitting an age of like 9, 10 years old, you know, and it's when I started really watching more and more of these things.
Right.
But I
saw Taxi Driver when I was 10 years old.
Right. But you saw.
I knew it was coming.
But that was your. But that was also
the TV edited version. Yeah. It still was pretty violent. They just cut out the nudity and the boobs. Yeah. So actually, I'm thinking that mother that brought those kids, she's the one right now, Abe, with her face on the watermelon.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if it says anything. To be a little racist about it, it was a Hispanic family, and Hispanics make up a disproportionate percentage of the horror audience and for theatrical releases.
Do they really?
Yeah, that is true. I
don't know if it's a cultural thing where it's more acceptable, or if it's just a really awesome mom.
Right. That's a good question.
You know, and it wasn't, which is why they would they would, you know, try doing things like La Llorona. It's like they're trying to lean into the fact, or the, what was the Paranormal Activity 5.5 or whatever it was.
The Marked Ones?
The Marked Ones, right, where they were trying to lean into the Hispanic audience because they are a large portion of the theater-going horror fan, disproportionately so. Mm. So, that doesn't necessarily mean that they all are dragging their kids to go see Saw 7 at 5 years old. But if we have any listeners of a Hispanic background that could shed some light onto this as to whether that is in fact an insightful observation by Michael Darwin, or if he's just ignorant racist, you would like to know.
Well, we could ask Angel from what's his podcast again? I forget his podcast. He won an award at Scarecon. I can't remember his. The podcast. I feel that.
Sorry, we're all failing here.
Yeah. But anyway, any other scenes that we wanted to bring up about this film here? Basically, what happens is Chucky kills the boyfriend of the mother, as we discussed, and then kills the landlord, and then kills the cop's mom. Mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he finally has a showdown. They have a big showdown at the store, basically.
Right, and they give it, and you get what you want is that they give you the Chewbacca Chucky, and you get to see evil Chewbacca Chucky attacking people. I mean, the only thing we didn't get is I would have liked to see the evil leprechaun Chucky and the evil Chucky in the Santa Claus out. Like they had like all these different costumes of the Chuckies, and it would have been kind of funny to see like a Chucky dressed up as.
I did laugh out loud
as the cowboy
when they panned past the leprechaun costume. I did laugh out loud.
And I do. By the way, I love the. Have you seen the posters for it?
For
Child's Play 4? Not Child's Play 4. Child's Play. Why is it?
No.
The new one.
For the new one, yeah.
I've saw the poster. Yeah.
So they basically are poster because they came out because they're coming out the same weekend as Toy Story 4. So the posters were trolling Toy Story 4.
Oh, okay.
With Chucky clearly like mutilating like all the various Child's Toy Story toys.
That's all the promotional material.
I mean that was obviously talk about counter. Programming, counter scheduling, release, Rocket Man opposite Godzilla, release Child's Play opposite Toy Story. But this is just so, they had to know. I mean, Disney's probably had this staked out forever. And so they're clearly leaning heavily into it. Right. It's even weirder when you realize that, it's another film about a child named Andy with talking toys that come to life.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah. Yeah. No, and well, to be honest, they could have changed some of the stuff, right? Because, I know Mark Hamill didn't, or at least it was released. I mean, it's still unknown, but rumor was is that he was hired in Q1 to do the voice of Chucky, but he could have been hired a year ago and did the voice, and then they just announced it in Q1 of this year. But the rumor was is that people were saying, oh my God, I can't believe they made the movie without having the voice of Chucky in place.
Yeah, but that's very common now with voiceover.
Yeah, I agree, because all they had to do is have someone speak the lines and the kid react to it. Right?
And even when it was strict animation, like back in the old Disney days, the vast majority of the time they would do the animation first and then lay the voices over. The exception to that was Robin Williams in Aladdin. Because he did so much brilliant improvising, they flip it around just for him and let him do his thing and then animate it over it.
Right, that's what I heard too, yeah. So for this one here, bringing in Mark Hamill, whether they just announced it or they did bring him in late to do it, and it was a great marketing move, I guess it didn't really matter. But to release it the same weekend as Toy Story, I thought that was a really bad move because I thought it was going to, my God, everybody's going to see Toy Story. But you're right, it was a perfect counter programming for Toy Story, and it's a wink-wink to anybody who's following, the box office. So
Well, I don't know if it works, because the problem with counter-programming is there's still limited airtime. You know, there's still limited advertising space.
Yeah.
You know, there's still limited, like, when people are sitting down and say, well, what are you going to go see this weekend? What's the big movie this weekend? They don't usually go through, like, three or four movies deep.
Well, and also there's the fact that they may not have been able to get as many screens because Toy Story was coming out.
Well, there's that, too.
Like, the theater I like to go to was not showing Child's Play because they had Toy Story 4 in, like, half of their theaters.
Wow, that's crazy.
Interesting.
And it's weird. But, I mean, the thing is, did it work or not? It did well-ish, but it didn't do as well as they were hoping.
Right, it was but $3 million less than they expected, I guess.
That seems to be the story of everything this summer after John Wick. I think John Wick is the last thing that came out.
Yeah, box office has been generally disappointing.
Yeah. Now, the phrase I've heard is awareness.
Was John Wick's box office good?
Oh, John, yeah, it was the best of the three. It's done very, very well.
Now, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Is that what I've heard, I guess it sums it up, is that they're all trying to get these franchises, like whether it's Godzilla or Men in Black International or what have you, or Chucky, where they said that, I guess it's that brand awareness is high, you know, awareness of the films is high, but interest is low.
Because I heard that Men in Black has not been doing very well in terms of box.
No, it hasn't.
It got pretty bad reviews too, though.
It did, but I mean, Men in Black. It's, you know, from what I understand, I mean, what did people like about Men in Black was Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, and it's going to be really hard to pass that baton on, you know, and expect the same response. And right, yeah, I know it's the same two actors from Thor Ragnarok, but there weren't a huge number of people saying that they made a great comedy duo.
Also, too, you know, Tommy Lee Jones was coming off of an Academy Award, and Will Smith was the biggest box office sensation.
Independence Day. And
So those were like two huge actors in their heyday, and these people are just like, who are these people?
At a time when actors were selling films, right, where if you had in the 90s, you know, Harrison Ford could open a film or Tom Hanks could open a film. And now you're at the age where star power has waned considerably. You know, and people clearly like Chris Hemsworth as Thor. They haven't lined up to see him do anything else.
So he was in Men in Black?
Yeah, it was him, and I can't remember the actress's name, but yes.
Right. Right. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, people like him.
Tessa Thompson, thank you.
Yeah, people like him, people like Jennifer Lawrence, people like a bunch of people, but they don't, you know, people like George Clooney, but these people don't open up box offices like they did 30 years ago.
Right, like, well, is Chris Pratt a movie star, or did he just happen to get really lucky in being hired to be in a Marvel movie and a Jurassic Park movie in the same summer?
Yeah, lucky.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and does that translate? So when Chris Pratt was it The Passenger or Passenger or something like that?
Yeah, with Jennifer Lawrence.
And that bombed.
Right.
You know, has Chris Pratt done anything other than Jurassic Park? And
time back to Child's Play?
Yeah, we should probably get back to that. So I come home.
All right, back to this perverted little ginger.
So I come back home after watching the film, and my wife says, how was it? I said, yeah, it was pretty good. And so she asked what it was about. And I go, well, the film's called Child's Play, and basically it's this doll, and I guess it was a remake, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I go, you know, I explain how it Bluetooths and stuff, and then it starts killing people. And she goes, oh, that's kind of interesting. It sounds like a Chucky, a movie that I saw back years ago as a kid. Yeah. And so she didn't even know that it was called Child's Play. I said, oh, it is Chucky. It's a remake of that film. The film is actually called Child's Play. And she goes, oh, shoot. When I saw that, I wouldn't want to see it then, because when I saw it, the original, I had nightmares. But I guess...
Oh, so you have to get her the doll.
But I guess the name Chucky is more noticeable than the name of the movie Child's Play, maybe.
Oh yeah, everybody knows Chucky, but a lot of people don't know it's called Child's Play.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as bad as it's not as bad as Child's Play, but, you know, like, a lot of people know Jason, they may not necessarily know it's Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Or Pinhead from the Hellraiser movie.
Right, and not know Hellraiser, or Freddy and not know Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right. Tall Man from Phantasm. You know?
Right, but I think Child's Play, because there's been, well, 7 films before this, and 4 of the 7 films were not called Child's Play. They were called, Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky, Cult of Chucky, and Curse of Chucky. Right, yeah. So it was all Chucky, 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 Chucky. So, and maybe that was a rights issue, I don't know what it was. So really the Child's Play logo hasn't even been out there quite the same way, so...
Right.
And it's just not, it's not like Candyman, right, where the name of the character is the film title.
Yeah.
Right.
And obviously Nightmare on the Street and Halloween or Friday the 13th are higher profile than Child's Play is. Child's Play is clearly B-list, where those are more A-list on the horror circuit.
Right, right. Even though everybody knows Chucky.
Yeah, they do, much. But I think far fewer people have seen the films.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, that's a fair point. Most people have seen those other 3 franchises, at least 1 film from those other 3 franchises.
And I know my mother would know Freddy Krueger, and I know my mother would know Jason Voorhees. I'm not sure she would know Pinhead or Chucky or Candyman.
Right.
You know, it's, of course, I don't know how that applies to, like, my students. I know my students will know Jason and Freddy.
And Michael Myers, probably.
And Michael Myers. Whether they knew Chucky before this or not, and whether they'd ever seen any movies, I would expect to be a little bit lower.
Right.
But, yeah. So, yeah, it's weird. His character has been more popular as an icon than his films have been.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Just ask John Gruden.
if Abe and Mike, you don't know who John Gruden is, I sent you a picture in messages so you can see the side by side of John Gruden and Chucky from the original Child's Play.
I saw the picture you sent. I still don't know who he is.
Yeah, he's
he's one of the best.
Yes, I see it.
Oh yeah, and he has that Chucky face all the time when he's on the sidelines.
That Chucky face.
Yeah, he's a very angry man.
Yeah. except when he's doing announcing, he's pretty nice.
But when he's coaching, he's usually angry.
Yes, that's the truth. He's a completely different person when he's off the field. Kind of funny. Yeah. Let's see. Anything else anybody want to bring up? Anything? Anyone?
No, I think we better get out of here before we start talking about sexually assaulting dolls again.
Yes, or offending listeners. Or,
too late. Too late.
Oh,
and I will say I am anxiously waiting the next installment of What Does the Fox Say?
It's going to be laced in profanities.
Oh! Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord.
And by the time people hear this, right, we are, you know, I'm just thinking this is going to be, what, a week, 2 weeks coming out?
Yeah, we'll release this hopefully next week, actually, next.
So we'll only be a couple of weeks away from our 4th meetup at Mystic, Connecticut.
Oh, my goodness, that's
this
right.
This looks to be the biggest one yet.
Yeah, explain what this is. Who wants to talk about it? Who wants to bring it up? Mike, you brought it up, so why don't you talk about it? What's going on?
We're doing a meetup at Mystic, Connecticut in Mystic, Connecticut, which that was a poorly planned sentence. On July 26th, 27th, and 28th, if there are any listeners in the area, or like listener Kevin Letts, any listeners who want to commute a long distance to come visit. We had a few people coming, and so we're going to be meeting up with the whole podcasting group, God willing, will be going. My wife is going to be there, and who is also a listener, Kevin Letts, listener, Holly Masiak, listener, planning on coming.
Steven Christina from Super Retro Podcast.
Yes, and Leo Pond and Kevin Crook from the Dorkening Podcast. Yeah. Maybe Ryan Tutolo. I can't remember.
While we were doing this, he said he can't come.
Oh, okay. All right, so he's out. Fuck him. That means there's one more spot open for you. So we're going to be meeting up there at Mystic Connecticut on Friday night. We're probably going to do our ritualistic ingestion of pizza. And then on Saturday, we're going to go watch a film, which is looking very likely to be Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And then we are going to have a live podcast recording about it. And then on Sunday, we will be going home, perhaps having a communal breakfast afterwards.
Or lunch.
Yeah. And now, because of the number of people we may be that are involved at the moment, which are looking like 11, unless somebody else wants to join us, we're probably going to be doing some pre-planning.
Yeah.
Of like booking tickets ahead of time and so forth. But if anybody's interested, please let us know.
Well, I booked my room a long time ago. I'm staying through Sunday. So.
Yeah, so am I. I thought I booked my room. Apparently, I hadn't.
Whoops.
So I just booked it tonight, and I'm fine. I'm good. Got it.
Cheap. Yeah. So for folks who are interested in going, a couple of things. You can email the podcast at darkdiscussions@aol.com, and we have a list of locations, towns, and hotels that we can send you. Also, there is a number of things to do. So you can obviously hang out with us and see the movie and then have the pizza at Mystic Pizza with us. But there's a lot of things to do for both adults and for families. There's the Mystic Aquarium, which is one of the best aquariums for youngsters.
Really awesome. Really cool.
Yeah, so it's really good for youngsters. There's Old Mystic Town, which is like a Plymouth Plantation or Williamsburg, where people dress up as, in the Puritan days and whatnot, and they have live blacksmiths and candle makers and all that. So there's a lot of that going there. There's the Coast Guard Academy Museum, where you can walk on a nuclear submarine that's out of commission. And so that's really cool. There's the two casinos literally right in the next town over.
The Mystic Department of Tourism is paying you.
Yeah, well, what it is that some of the people say, yeah, do I really want to travel 2 hours, or in some cases, like Kevin Letts, 1,000 miles or whatever it is, it's just to hang out with those guys. And it's like, well, you can do both, because it's not only just hanging out with us. It's literally one of the greatest tourist attractions in England, the area.
And that's one of the reasons I haven't pushed harder for you fuckers to come out here instead of me driving all the way out there.
There you go.
Because there's more to do out there.
Right. Oh, and they also have wonderful beaches as well. So right on the New York's Long Island Sound. So there's a lot of stuff to do. And it's a thing that you can make as a whole weekend or even a week, rather than just, do I really want to come to see a movie and have pizza with a podcast that I like. So that's just a heads up. So you can email us at drdiscussion@aol.com. And as Mike said, there's an itinerary going on. So when you do email and you decide to come, we'll give you the information on the first event, which will be Friday night. And at that event, we can fill you in with everything else as well. But the first event's the most important, because that is the one that where we determine everything else. Because since we don't know what time movies are playing until obviously that weekend, so that we determine on Friday night the rest of the itinerary for the weekend. So that's what we're doing. So that's cool. Yeah, absolutely. Any other information anybody wanted to bring up? Oh, Eric, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan.
I do. It's a general interest podcast called The Askancy Podcast. That's spelled Askancity. You can find it on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Overcast, and iTunes and Apple Podcasts.
Excellent. And Mike, you do a blog, and we do a few other podcasts.
The blog is on Natural Selections, www.unnaturalselections.com. the other podcast, we just completed the run of You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, a Game of Thrones podcast. So if you're interested in doing a series rewatch and want to watch some of those along with us, you can do that. We have upcoming in 2020, the return of Bullets, Brothels, and Bots, a Westworld podcast. Just to show that we're not just devoted to HBO shows, we also have Searching for American Gods, about the Starz HBO Starz TV series, American Gods, which we completed second season about 2 months ago, and we're waiting not so anxiously for the third season to see whenever that's going to drop. So that's you right. can listen to those. And then there's the Psychotronic.
Yep, Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews. Yeah, I just recorded an episode of that this past Sunday with guests Bill Casolini from the Horror Mafia podcast. Came on and he reviewed 5 Arrow Boutique discs, and I reviewed 5 various boutique labels as well. So we have a review of 10 films on that. That's coming out shortly. And then, Eric, we're doing a new podcast coming out starting probably July. If not July, it will definitely be August, because we're obviously going to be
again.
Well, we're meeting up in July, and
right.
So it depends. We could probably do it in mid July, but we'll discuss as we get closer.
We're doing a monthly podcast called Cinema a la Carte, just to give us the flexibility to cover some non-genre movies, because we've had some internal friction at times about what's appropriate for the Dark Discussions label and what's not. So this is our fix, is by creating this other podcast called Cinema a la Carte, where we can talk about whatever the hell we want to without worrying about the label. So we're going to start doing that soon.
Yep, and it will also possibly include some genre films, because, for example,
possibly.
Well, westerns, right? That's a genre.
Yeah. It depends on your definition of genre. So.
Yeah, action film. Yeah, you know, so stuff that horror.
Stuff
and
not as good as horror.
Well, right, but stuff that's horror, sci-fi, fantasy, cult film viewers would watch would probably enjoy. This new podcast as well.
I would like to try and concentrate on films we normally would not cover on Dark Discussions.
Right. Well, yeah. that could include like westerns and films mm-hmm. like Die Hard. And
just trying to be clear here, and you're muddying the waters.
Yes. Okay. Fair enough. Ignore everything I said and just listen to Eric. All right. So, any other news anybody wanted to bring up, Mike? Anything else that you had to bring up?
No, but I will want to say if you enjoy Child's Play, or maybe if you like the concept of the connected devices turning on people but aren't so cool about the perverted midget ginger Canadian doll, I'd strongly recommend going to I'm sure it's got to be streaming somewhere. I think it's episode 7 of the last season of The X-Files, the 11th season, which was basically an almost dialogue-less episode of The X-Files, in which Scully and Mulder are being hunted by smart devices. It's a lot of fun, and it was one of the best episodes of the series.
Cool,
excellent. And that was season 11, you said?
That was season 11, which they aired back in January, and it's probably going to be the last season.
Oh, this is part of the new stuff. That's why I wasn't
right.
familiar with it.
So
I didn't watch the new stuff.
Yeah, I the new stuff was very hit and miss, but each season had about 2 episodes that I think you could argue were instant classics.
Did they ever bring back the Terminator guy in that one?
No.
Okay.
He's talking about the actor, Mike, just so you're clear.
Yeah.
That's a little Phil translation for you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I forget the actor's name, so I just remember from the Terminator.
Yeah.
I
knew he
would just one quick hit on what I've been watching. I already sent Mike a message about this directly because I know he's a big fan of anthologies. And I watched a pretty good one the other night called Nightmare Cinema. Of course, I do all my renting on iTunes. I'm sure it's available in other places. But it was a solid anthology, so I recommend that if you're into that kind of thing. Nightmare Cinema.
Nice. I watched. I just rewatched Game of Thrones, the entire series, fast-forwarding all the Essos stuff, which
so included. He still can't back
well, up. Well, that also included the House of Faces, the House of the Faceless Man too. That was boring. There's, but all the other stuff I watched, and so that was cool.
No, because you did fast forward through all the Sansa stuff.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, for crying.
When are we gonna fucking stop talking about that goddamn show?
It's
over. Move on with your life.
Yes, so I watched, so now that that's over, I had opportunities to now start watching Blu-rays and discs and DVDs and stuff. And so I watched Panic in Year Zero, which is a 1962 film starring Ray Milland and Frankie Avalon and Gene Hagen. And actually it was directed by Ray Milland. And it's basically a family that's taking a camping trip with a camper to the car and heading out to the hills for a family vacation outside of Los Angeles, and the nukes hit. And so it's they call it a science fiction horror film, but it's obviously more of a thriller because there's no real science fiction except that the nukes hit. Yeah, exactly. So it's basically a family surviving. And it's really well done.
What's it called again?
It's called Panic in Year Zero.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you said that originally, I thought you were talking about two movies. I thought you said Panic and Year Zero.
Oh, gotcha.
But yes. It's Panic in Year Zero.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
High recommend. Obviously the acting is going to be solid. Ray Milland and Gene Hagen are Academy Award nominated, and in Ray Milland's case, a winner. And Frankie Avalon, it was when his heyday, right before he started doing his comedy Beach Bingo films. And it's really rock solid, scary as hell. And at around the 1 hour mark, there's things that are implied that. Obviously, they wouldn't show at that in 1962, but
remake
horrific. Yeah, no kidding. So high recommend. People should check that out. Abe, anything? I know you were playing some video game, Abe.
Yes, it is called Darkwood. It's a top-down horror, which is basically like an eagle eye view of the world around you're playing in which you play a stranger trapped in a Russian forest, in which the trees have basically grown to massive size, and the roots have basically blocked you and many others from the outside world. And people, there are mutated creatures and hauntings and stuff like that. It's a survival game and also kind of like a strange mystery as well. It's really cool, and it's independently made game, so it's got kind of a pixelated look to it, but it's still really cool. The character portraits are pretty solid. And it doesn't rely on jump scares. Instead, it's more of what's around the corner that could be attacking you at any moment, especially in certain points in the game where it becomes dark and you have to basically hold out till daybreak. It's available, I know, on Xbox One, PS4, and PC. And it's only $15 on the PS4. I'm sure it's around that range.
It's $9.99, I think, on Xbox One.
Yeah, so it's a pretty good deal, and it's you'll get a lot of content out of it. There's different outcomes for interactions with certain characters. There's a lot of weird places to explore, freaky creatures. It's a fun game, and you know, it really just kind of shows what the independent video game market is capable of bringing out, and I highly recommend it.
Nice, nice. Yeah, after you mentioned it on Facebook, I took a look at it, and yeah, it looks pretty cool. And I read reviews, and it's been around for a couple of years. And is the reason it's back in the news is because it's now made it to, like you said, Xbox and things like that, compared to when it was originally just a PC game. And all the reviews I read give it high thumbs up. So. I was looking at it. I was tempted to buy it for $9.99, so maybe I'll do that. So, all right, very good. All right, so let's give our final thoughts.
Sorry, I did forget one thing. Pam and I just finished streaming the first, maybe only season of Good Omens on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Which I've based on the Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett story. Neil Gaiman's also the author of American Gods. If you like British humor, Terry Pratchett's got a sense of humor very in line with, say, Douglas Adams of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's really well worth checking out. It is funny, but it's basically a story about an angel and a devil who have been slacking off on the job for the last 6,000 years on Earth, and they kind of like the way things are, and so they're working to avoid the apocalypse now that the Antichrist has been born, so they can kind of keep their jobs and continue slacking off. It's a lot of fun. If you have Amazon Prime, it's free to watch. If you don't have Amazon Prime, then it isn't. But I highly recommend it. And Pam applauded when it ended, so she really liked the ending too.
I have not had a chance to catch up with that, but I've heard nothing but good things about it.
I want to read the book too.
All right, very good. There's a running joke where people would sign a petition to have Netflix remove it because they felt it was a sacrilege.
Promoting Satanism.
But that wasn't the funny thing about it. The funny thing right. about it was it's not
Netflix
on
Netflix doesn't make it, idiots!
And the best part of it, though, was in response, Amazon announced they were canceling Stranger Things.
I missed that. That's funny.
Yeah, I see that.
Oh, God, people are so fucking stupid.
All right. You wonder if it was just a planted thing by some joker and then it blew up into...
No, these are people who don't know what they're doing. Who?
Gotcha. All right, so let's give our final thoughts on Chucky. So let's start with you, Mike. Remake.
I liked it a lot. I think this does what a remake should do, is that it is on the surface, obviously a remake of the original franchise, but it updates it in a way that is completely different from the original. It does its own thing, and I think it did it well. I had a lot of fun with it, I'd be fine if it ends here. I would also love it if they did a sequel that got a little bit bigger and bolder with its ideas and went in a completely different direction than the franchise has gone so far.
All right, very good. I actually liked it a hell of a lot. I think I may like it even now more after discussing it, because Mike made some good points about the impression of the child is what drove Chucky to do what he did, and I thought that's a kind of an interesting concept that didn't occur to me when I was watching the film. I was just saying robots are evil, and some guy had taken off the safeties, so that's all I was thinking of. But it's more than that, and the film was pretty solid. It has some good kills, and John Gruden hasn't looked better than he ever had here. So, highly recommend. And it'll probably be out of the theater soon, but definitely check it out if you don't get to see it at theaters. Definitely check it out when it comes on VOD or disc. Abe?
I overall really like this movie. I thought it had some fun humor, some good kills. I thought Mark Hamill did well in the role of Chucky and kind of made it his own thing. I still prefer the original, but this still had a lot of fun to it. And I know it's going to be something that's going to remain divisive for a while, but I do think if you're willing to separate a number of elements from the original franchise and kind of look at this on its own terms and as its own identity, it's a fun movie. Or I think it's worth a shot. I mean, I'd say give it a chance, and you might have a good time.
All right, very good, Eric.
I didn't particularly care for the movie. It's not my thing, but I do enjoy the refreshed premise, and I think if you're interested in it, you should go see it. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm saying it's not a movie for me.
All right, very good. So this is a 2019 Child's Play. Basically, I guess even though it's a remake, it's you could argue it as a reboot too because of the changes. The premise, how Chucky, becomes what he becomes. All in all, getting good reviews by critics, getting some backlash by fans of the original because, as Mike said, people hate when their loved films are remade. But for those folks who are more open-minded, most folks should like it if they like horror films, unless, of course, you think dolls are stupid, like Eric does. So 2019, Child's Play, check it out before it leaves. And with that, Eric, why don't you do this one?
All right, thanks for tuning in. Let's talk about the remake of Child's Play. Come back next week, we'll have another topic. Perhaps also doll-related.
You are my buddy until the end. More than a buddy, you're my best friend. I love you more than you will ever know. I will never let you go. Buddies, we are best friends. Don't ever leave me, please don't say goodbye. I'll be yours till the day that I die.